Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to today's one shot. Are you all excited?
Very.
Yeah.
Only a little.
Oh, yeah.
I am excited. It is going to be an amazing thing. So welcome, everybody who's here for the stream. I hope you are as excited as we are currently for our one shot. For setting purposes, I'll explain this now, and then I'll also explain it in-game. But we finished our last arc, which was the Yeti arc, a.k.a. the Lodge arc. And then it's not quite the next arc, so instead what we're doing right now is an interlude. It's, you know, everybody's gone back to Shady Hollow, things are quiet. It is currently January, no longer January here, but January in the game. So I'm exceptionally tired today.
You've been doing a crazy amount of work, and we all really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't tell anybody what it was Sandy just yet, said. Because it's going to be a surprise. But, all right. So, let us begin. Elena, it's about 10 o'clock at night, and you were sitting at home, resting and relaxing after trying to deal with the things that had happened a few weeks ago at Santa Triste, when you received a phone call. It wasn't just any phone call. It rang from a phone that has no other contacts except one. You answered it, and on the other line, a person told you to come and meet them down by the ocean at a certain point that you both knew. And so here you are, 10:30 at night, standing on a foggy street overlooking the ocean at Shady Hollow. The marine layer is rolling in. The street lights are fuzzy and glowing yellow in the darkness. And you're alone next to a bench, wondering if the person that called you is going to show up. You're just about to leave as you get antsy and realize that they are about 20 minutes late, when out of the darkness, a figure emerges. They're short, probably 2 or 3 inches shorter than you, kind of stocky, wearing baggy clothing and a little taxi cab hat. You recognize them. It's Margie, your old boss. She's the one who called you and let you know that you both needed to meet tonight. It was very important, and she couldn't talk about it over the phone. She sees you standing next to the bench and gives you a small wave and says, "Hey, kiddo."
Yo.
So, listen. We've got some important shit to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
What are you doing back in Shady Hollow? I told you to get out of here.
I mean, it's not like I can't just leave. I got people here. I've got shit to take care of.
But shit's hot right now, kid.
I know. I've been trying to lay low.
Well, you haven't been laying low enough. Last time I heard, Henry's men had spotted you out on the streets. They know you're back.
Shit.
Listen, I'm not your mom or anything, but if I was you, I'd get out of town as quick as you could. Henry's out for blood, and if he finds you, he's gonna get it.
I appreciate the warning, but I can handle myself. I don't want to, but I can't just leave.
Yeah, I've seen you handle yourself, kid. I know you can. But the problem is, can you handle yourself against 10 or 15 of Henry's favorite men?
Shit, I've been through the past couple weeks. I'll take my chances.
She looks you up and down when you say that, and you've got this look in your eye that she's never really seen before. She's seen you at some of your worst times in life. She's seen you beaten literally to a bloody pulp and helped you get back on your feet. And somehow, she still sees something in you that she never saw before. And she kind of looks you over, nods once, and says, "Yeah, I don't doubt it. Still." And she kind of makes this, like, little nervous gesture as she says this and shuffles a little bit and doesn't look at you and kind of says, "Look, I like you, kid. You kind of remind me of me when I was your age, and I'd like to see you not, you know, get killed."
"I'll try to avoid that."
"All right, well, I've said my piece. Listen, just, take care of yourself, okay?"
"I appreciate it."
And just as she says that, and she looks like she's about to, like, awkwardly put her hand on your shoulder or something. She's not really entirely sure what she's going to do. You're standing there when something weird starts to happen. Before we get there, let's look a little bit at where everybody else is currently. Nigel, you're sitting in your little one-room cabin, reading a book next to a small, fading yellow light. You're tired. Usually you're tired at this time of day, but you're determined to try and get as much information on these subjects as possible, as fast as possible. So ever since the events of Santa Triste, you've been spending every night late into the night just cramming as much information into your head as you can from any source that you possibly can find in terms of magic, in terms of monsters, in terms of weaponry. Doesn't matter. You're trying to find it because you need to know it. Raven, you're at the Museum of Unnatural History. It's late, but Elle wasn't home when you got home, and you decided that instead of waiting around worrying about her, you would go back to work and finish up the collection that you had been trying to get organized for the last 3 days. For some reason, because of headaches and other things that have just been very difficult for you to talk about with other people, you've been distracted. And you only seem to find real solace right now in either burying your head into the unnatural collection and trying to organize it as best as possible, or burying your head in other more fun places. You know.
Yep, sounds about right. Uh-huh, yep. Jewelry making, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jack, you're at home. In fact, you're sitting on the roof of your house, the one that you share with your roommates, that's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. Someone making a baker's salary certainly should not be able to afford a place like this, but the BPI has you covered. You're at the end of a cul-de-sac of otherwise empty houses. The BPI seems to own at least 3 of them, and the others, for some reason, nobody ever seems to stick around in too long. You're on the roof, lying down, looking at the stars, as the marine layer rolls in and slowly covers them and pulls up a kind of gray blanket of darkness. On your left side sits a young woman, and she's gently humming a small song to herself as she watches the stars and every now and then looks over at you and gives you a smile. On the right side is another young woman. She's busy playing a video game on a handheld console. It's the newest thing that she could possibly find. It's kind of strange. You've never seen it before. But she seems to be having fun, and Bippy dished out the money for her to use it. The 4 of you, Elena, Jack, Nigel, and Raven, are at your various places of rest and repose or work and study when suddenly the earth beneath your feet starts to shake. It's not unusual for Shady Hollow to get tremors every now and then. It comes with the territory of living on the West Coast. But this one feels strange. Most earthquakes shake from side to side or up and down. But this one feels like a vibration, like it's humming at your very core. And it doesn't really seem to be doing any real damage just yet, but it's getting stronger and louder. And you can hear as people around you at the various places down the streets for people who are near them or far in the distance for those who are not, people react and start to come awake and go outside their house and go, what's going on? Shady Hollow shakes and shakes and shakes for a good 30 seconds. And all 4 of you in your various locations kind of bunker down and feel terrified for a moment and wonder, is this it? Is this the big one? And out on a hill overlooking Shady Hollow, a figure stands. It's small and cloaked in darkness, and is looking down on the city lights, waiting. And when things begin to shake, and the distant screams and sounds of sirens come drifting through the night, it stands up, and it says, "Finally, there you are." It's the next day. The four of you are meeting. Where do you four meet in general when you just want to kind of gather together to talk about things?
Down at the diner, right?
Yeah, seems to be our usual thing.
Yeah. I guess.
All right, so you four are sitting at the diner. It's about 8 in the morning. Despite the early hour for a relatively small, sleepy town, there seems to be a large buzz going around. Everybody seems on edge. Last night's earthquake has left them nervous and wondering if it was a precursor, the final one, or something bigger. You see as people seem to be rushing outside, almost quickening their pace and looking over their shoulder, not looking like they're particularly comfortable being around such tall buildings after last night's events. You've all have your breakfasts, and you're sitting together at a dining table. What do you do?
Well, last night was pretty weird, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not a normal earthquake. It felt different.
Yeah, it... You know, most of the earthquakes are just the, oh, I'm going to knock your house over variety, but this was, I don't know, it felt kind of like when someone turns up their car stereo really, really loud, but it's just the bass, and it goes all the way through everything.
Oh gosh, yeah. I hate that. Those people are so annoying.
That didn't feel right. What are you guys thinking? We should maybe take a look into this?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
that would probably be for the best.
We can go to the museum to see if anything like this has happened before, but I don't know.
I'm thinking local news station. The guys that do the weather reports, their meteorology stuff normally has that grand vibration sensing stuff in it. They can normally pinpoint where earthquakes come from. So there might be an epicenter we should be taking a look at.
Could go there. Yeah, I guess I've got no other ideas. Anyone else?
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Have an idea, but I'm not gonna do it.
If it's shoot the island, I don't think that's gonna help Jack.
If it's a weird type of earthquake, the BPI might know something, but I feel like they'd already be on it if it was.
Yeah, I feel like maybe anything. All of us walking into your secret base of operations might not be
But good. I didn't say all of us.
I don't know. For now, I'd like to leave them out of it. No offense, Jack, but I do not trust those guys at all.
I mean, neither do I at this point.
Besides, weird stuff happens around here all the time. You know, let's leave them to do the really big stuff, like alien invasions or whatever, and let's...
Oh, aliens aren't real.
You're paid to say that, aren't you?
Slightly.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, can I investigate? No, never mind. I guess let's pay for this meal and see. Wait, why in the world would they let us in, though?
Who, me?
No, the rest of us into the news station. I'm pretty sure we're not going to be the only looky-loos going there for answers.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, we could always just break in.
Sneak in.
Or we could go to the front desk and just ask to talk to the local meteorologist.
That's less fun.
It's also the route that won't get us arrested.
Yeah, but one of us is an officer of the law.
Also the route that won't get us arrested.
Last time you tried to do that. You ended up arrested.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah,
no, fair point.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt to go at.
So, the four of you are planning to head to the news station? Is that it?
Yeah, fair enough.
Heist.
Okay. So you pay for your breakfast and head outside onto the street. The news station is relatively close. Shady Hollow is a small town as far as places are. Do you drive there? Do you walk there? What do you do?
I go with L.
If you guys have a car, I will tag with you. Driving the RV everywhere is awkward in town.
Have I been there before?
Have you? That's a good question. Hound, would Jack have any reason to have gone to the news station before?
I mean, he might have, because he used to be a snoop, so he might have applied there before, being with the BPI.
So Jack, in his previous history before he ended up with the BPI... tried to work at the news station, So there's one possible way that you guys could get in, but the four of you are contemplating exactly how you're going to approach this as you're standing on the sidewalk. And looking around, you see people just going about their day, still looking nervous. It's about a 2-mile drive, so the four of you hop into Elena's car and drive there and arrive fairly quickly. What do you do?
Well, anyone want to take the lead on this?
I can. No, wait, no, that would not be a good idea.
I don't know, Jack. I mean, you're the only one who knows this place.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just get our foot in the front door. We can probably take him there.
I can. I'll ask them for another interview.
Or we could be kind of straightforward.
Yeah. They probably recognize me. I don't know. I didn't have the beard stuff before.
Yeah, I'm just thinking if you show up saying you want an interview, they're going to be wondering why the three of us are there still, so.
Moral support.
So the four of you, after deciding that Jack is going to be your front man for this endeavor, head inside. As you walk into the newsroom front desk area, you see a lot of activity going on, more so than you think would be normal for a small town news station. People seem to be bustling in and out. Lots of people talking loudly, in general, seeming agitated. And the woman at the front desk is currently on the phone, looking irritated as she talks into the receiver going, no, you know, you can't talk. I'm sorry. Yes, I understand you want to. No. No, oh, it, yes, okay, I, no, sir, please, what do you guys do?
Jack's just gonna walk up to the front desk and patiently wait for the phone call to be over.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like she's gonna be finished with her phone call anytime soon. It's one of those situations where she can't really hang up on this person, but they are just kind of going off. And you get that sense as you're standing there for a good 5 minutes, and she kind of looks at you and holds up a finger, like going, like, one moment, I'm sorry, just hold on, and just kind of turns away again. She can still see you, but she's not, like, looking straight at you as she's just, yes, no, yes, I understand, but I'm trying to tell you that if you could just...
Can I take a look around and just kind of see what sort of security... Like, are we talking, like, everything's locked behind keypads, or are there security guards on every exit?
So, this is a small-town news station, and what you see around you is pretty in line with that. The front desk is sitting in a kind of reception room area, with the receptionist sitting in... and. At the bottom of, like, those like, big wooden desks where you can, like, if you sit down, people really can't see you too well until they approach. And she's got a bunch of papers in front of her that have schedules and times and numbers and a phone with, like, a huge, like, light board for putting people on hold. And when you kind of, like, look over to see what's going on, you can see that she's got about, like, 15 people on hold right now because all the little lights are blinking red. Either side of the desk are two glass doors, and when you, like, lean over, you can actually see into the news station studio, and people keep coming in and out of those glass doors. It seems like they have key badges on, but there's no real, like, locking mechanism to stop people from coming in and out. There's one security guard standing on the left side of the desk, looking rather bored. And then there's a couple of chairs around, and you see a few people sitting there, some of them looking really irritated, some of them kind of just look like they're waiting for something that you don't know about. In general, the security is very light, but there is a security guard, and he is paying close attention to at least the people going in and out, whether or not they have key cards.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can I try to use magic to do something?
You can.
I'm going to try to use magic to... unplug the phone.
All right, go ahead and roll use magic.
So plus weird, right?
Yeah, plus weird.
All right, that's a 10.
All right. So, Jack, you You stand there and you're kind of like looking around and you're waiting, and you don't like to be rude, but it doesn't seem like she's going to be getting off anytime soon. And so, like, very subtly, you wave your fingers in like a little kind of swirl next to your body, where people can't really see it. And suddenly the plug behind the receptionist just kind of pops out. And you see as all the lights on her phone go dark, and there's a moment where she goes, oh no. And she looks like both frustrated and like scared, and then kind of relieved too, because she's, welp. And she looks at the four of you standing there and goes, huh, all right, can I help you? Sorry about that.
Yeah. I was wondering if we could get some information, like just some general information about last night's earthquake, if you have anything.
Yeah, you're certainly not the only one asking. The best I can tell you what they've told me is that last night was just a normal tremor, and nothing's gonna happen. There doesn't seem to be any indication that there's going to be a big earthquake. Everything's gonna be fine. That's what they've been telling me, and that's what I believe. So yes, it's gonna be fine. And she kind of looks like she's been giving the speech to everybody who comes in and out of the station and everybody who's been calling, and she personally doesn't seem to believe it because she looks a little nervous too.
What do you really think about it? Do y'all have any information from your, I don't remember what they're called.
Seismological equipment?
Yeah, what she said.
She looks a little nervously, like, to the side at this, like, security guard and the people sitting around. I want you to roll to manipulate someone, because you're trying to get her to say something that she has been very specifically told by the station not to give her personal opinion.
Would Raven have given help out?
Yeah, I was gonna say, could I lean in and say, sorry, I'm here from the Museum of Unnatural History, and I just want to make sure that their records are as up-to-date as possible.
Unnatural history? I don't know what that would have to do with earthquakes. Well, yeah.
You know that we've been trying to introduce a large unnatural science division, and this is, of course, part of that. We want to be able to show people that sometimes the explainable is explainable, and sometimes the unexplainable is just as explainable, so long as you don't explain it. And I just kind of start rambling.
Okay, so I want Hound to roll to manipulate, and Scully, go ahead and roll help out.
Help out is charm, correct?
Cool.
Wait, no, yes, cool.
Oh, okay, then it's 8.
Okay. Hound, what did you get?
Naturally, I got a, manipulate someone is charm, right? Well, then that's an 11.
Okay, well, Scully's 8 gives you a plus 1, so you got a 12.
So that's 12, yeah.
Yeah, so, describe to me how you're trying to manipulate her. So go ahead and just, you know, charm her. Or not, intimidate, you can do what you want. I'm not your mom.
I'll probably go, the intimidate route because I'm tall. So, I'm not really gonna try to intimidate her with words, just more body language by towering over her.
Okay.
And just staring daggers at her, I guess.
So you guys watch as Jack, who generally is really pretty laid back, suddenly has this very intimidating aura about him in a way that you've never seen and doesn't seem natural to him, but somehow he's pulling it off. And he doesn't do anything. He's still standing pretty much the same way. He leans a little bit forward, but it's almost like he's changed in a completely different attitude. And the woman who's sitting at the back of the desk kind of like looks up, and he seems almost infinitely taller than he did just moments ago. And she kind of starts studying and goes, look, I can't really tell you too much. They don't share a lot with the receptionist, I'm sorry. But listen, what happened last night, from what I understand, from what the seismologists have been saying, is that it wasn't necessarily the usual type of quake. And that's really all I've got. I'm sorry. And she looks like you're, like, she's starting to look a little terrified as you kind of like loom over her, and she realizes that she's going to probably get in trouble for telling you even that much.
As she's starting to look like a little like panicked, Nigel's just gonna kind of gently pull Jack back a little bit. It's like, if we could actually have a word with one of them, just so we can figure out where it was, we would love to go out to the area. Just make sure everything out there, at least surface wise, is okay.
She looks over at you, and you seem to be like between Jack just looming over her and Raven kind of just like dumping all this information about the Museum of Unnatural History at her on the other side. You seem like the rest in the middle of the storm, and she kind of goes, "Oh, yeah, listen, you wanted to talk to somebody? Listen, I'm not supposed to, but like, Bob went around the corner. That's one of our seismologists. He usually goes and smokes out at the back, and I just saw him leave, meaning he's probably going to be out there for like a good 5-10 minutes. So if you really want to talk to somebody, I can't let you in the station. It would cost me my job. I'm sorry, but if you can catch him, he might be able to answer some of your questions, okay?
Thank you. You've been a wonderful help. And Nigel's just going to start, you know, heading out the door to head around the side of the building.
Yeah, Jack's going to follow.
Okay.
Elle's right there with them.
All right. So you guys head outside and you round the corner. The station isn't a particularly large building. Shady Hollow doesn't seem to be investing a ton of money into making it particularly, you know, well-equipped, but it's got some amenities. It takes you about half a second to get around the building. It's kind of squat and square and made out of concrete, and on the side next to the dumpster you see a rather short man with kind of scraggly brown hair looking irritated as he's smoking a cigarette and kind of muttering to himself every time he finishes a drag, and he doesn't seem to notice you. He seems very involved in his own internal monologue.
Raven's going to walk up to him and just say, "Hey, do you happen to have a lighter?" And pull out a pack of Dejarin Blacks, the clove cigars that are black and are delicious.
Okay. He kind of looks up startled as he realizes that someone else is there. And he goes, yeah, hold on a second. And he digs around in his pocket and finally pulls out this like beaten up little American flag lighter that he obviously got at like a 7-Eleven or something. And he kind of hands it to you.
Thank you so much. So, crazy night last night, eh?
You're telling me.
What happened?
Fuck if I know. Wait. And he kind of suddenly like catches himself and he looks around and... You're not from the Daily Post, are you? Like, that, and you know this from living in Shady Hollow, the Daily Post is the rival newspaper to the one that is put out by this particular news station. There's only, like, three in town, and so that's their biggest competition, and he kind of looks like he's worried that you're suddenly there to
the news, the news that wouldn't...
Would Jack have heard him say the Daily Post?
Would he? Where are you?
I imagine we're close by. Close-ish.
Yeah, if you're close-ish, if you're anywhere near the corner, you can probably hear him, so you probably heard.
Jack's just gonna cup his mouth and just, at the top of his lungs, yell, "Fuck the Daily Post."
He hears you say that, and he kind of, like, looks at Raven and then, like, looks at you guys standing near the corner and goes, yeah, fuck those guys. You're not with them, though, right?
No. We are not with the Daily Post, the news that's barely fit to print.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah, sure. All right. And he just looks kind of nervous and like kind of rubs the back of his head and goes, "Yeah, so listen, I've been doing this job for like 30 fucking years, right? And generally, you know, when you get the information, it all makes fucking sense, right? It all makes fucking sense. Last night's quake doesn't make any fucking sense. It's impossible. You can't have a quake that is like it has to be related to something, right? It has to come from somewhere. This came from fucking nowhere. It's like Shady Hollow by itself just shook for no fucking reason. And it didn't just shake in one place. It shook in multiple places. And it was all around the fucking island and nowhere fucking else. And that's not possible. It's not.
No, I don't blame you. It's weird as hell. So here's the thing. I work for the Museum of Unnatural History, you know, that place down the road. And we're just trying to figure out where it came from. Like, do you know where the origin points were?
You're from where? Are you talking about that one weird old Gothic building that they converted into some kind of strange museum for weird crap? I don't fucking know what you
call it.
That's
the one, I promise. It's a lot better than you think.
Yeah. What does that have... You guys study earthquakes there? That seems...
We study all sorts of things.
All right. Well, who am I to fucking judge? Listen, no, I don't know where they came from. My equipment's not that sensitive. I wish it was that sensitive, but they don't give us the fucking money. And after last night, I don't think I'm gonna have a job anymore because they don't fucking believe me when I tell them that this shit is weird.
Raven takes another long, hard drag. I'd really hate to see it go, Bob. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you and the rest of whatever Raven definitely knows this news place is called.
It's just called Shady Hollow News, because Shady Hollow is very original that way.
Yeah, you and Shady Hollow News have always been my number one source for that. Is there anything we could do to help you keep your job?
Find out how these fucking quakes happen so I can prove it to my fucking superiors.
Yeah, that would definitely help. Listen, if you have anything that we could go on, we'd be more than happy to update you with anything we find out.
Yeah, well, we'll see how long I'm around, but I appreciate the offer. I'll be here till the end of the day, at least. Certainly trying to make my case for why I'm, you know, not lying about what the fuck's happening. Yeah.
Well, for what it's worth, we believe you, and I'm gonna pull out my card and give it to him.
He takes it and he looks at it and he goes, all right, thanks. Now, if you don't mind, I like to smoke by myself, so could you fuck off kindly?
Of course.
Thanks.
And I walk away.
All right, so you guys have some information now about the fact that the quakes certainly didn't seem to be natural, even to the science people. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
Well, that was a bust.
Yeah, now it's weird. Also, I'm so glad that magic worked. Did you guys see me do that magic?
What magic?
Where the hell did you learn that?
Learn what?
Don't ask that.
Okay.
Okay, what happened?
Oh, yes,
I made the phone go off.
All right. What? All right.
You know magic.
As we're walking away, I'm just gonna flick out my little smoke. And, you know, make sure it doesn't land in any grass or anything. But I'm also going to use magic to cast Jinx on Bob to try and get him to drop his security badge.
Okay, so go ahead and roll for Jinx.
That would be a 9. So I will read this to the chat, too, because the chat would like to know.
Yeah, and this is a new power, too, right? This is your first time using it. So, yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So, with Jinx, you can encourage coincidences to occur the way you want. When you Jinx a target, roll weird. On a 10, hold 2, and on a 7 to 9, hold 1. On a miss, the keeper holds 2 over you to be used in the same way. Now, the two things that I can hold come from this list. I can interfere with a hunter, giving them negative 1 forward. I can help a hunter, giving them plus 1 forward by interfering with their enemy. I can interfere with what a monster, minion, or bystander is trying to do. I can inflict 1 harm on the target due to accident. The target will find something that I left for them, or the target will lose something that I will soon find.
Okay, so I'm going to assume you want to use the target loses something?
Yes.
Okay, so you guys are like walking away and chatting together, and Bob's kind of just muttering to himself, and finally he just kind of throws his cigarette onto the ground and just, like, stomps it out and takes a deep sigh and, like, reaches into his back pocket to pull out his cigarette pack and, like, flick it open to see if he's got enough for the next time. And as he does, the key card that was in his pocket instead of around his neck falls out. And he looks inside his cigarette pack and realizes it's the last one and kind of swears to himself, like, fuck, shit. I'm just going to rah, rah, rah. And he, like, starts muttering to himself more, and he closes the pack, and he looks at the news station, and then he looks down the street towards the gas station at the end and looks back at the news station and then looks at his watch, and he kind of goes, I got enough time, I think. I got enough time, yeah. Yeah, I got enough time. And he just kind of starts walking really fast, and he's doing that, like, little weird walk that people do when they kind of want to just run because they don't have enough time, but they are adults and apparently aren't allowed to run. So he, like, walks very quickly past the four of you who are just kind of meandering your way down the driveway and heads off down the street. And where he was, his key card is now sitting on the ground next to the garbage can.
Yeah, I'm just going to turn around briefly, pick up my cigarette butt, and put it out more properly in the actual trash can.
Okay.
And pick up the key card at the same time.
All right. So you now have a news station key card. It has Bob's picture on it and his name. And it's not really like a key card. It doesn't like automatically open doors. It's more like if you're wearing it, the security guard will let you in kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So good to have.
All right. So now what do you guys want to do?
Now what?
Well, I don't really know what we're going to do with the key card. And we've got multiple points to check out. We don't know where any of them are.
Raven, did you share the fact that you have a key card with the others?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Consistency's sake.
Yes. Well, not to bring up old news, but there were 3 points back on Halloween. And if this is something weird, which Bob obviously thinks it is, it might have to do with those.
We should check those out then.
Yeah, that could work. Now that we have Miguel's to go on.
We're sort of just shooting in the dark. We need to,
Could I roll for investigate mystery to try and think of, like, if there's anything I might have read about that might explain Earth-type quakes in the area?
Okay. So this is an investigate mystery that's, you're trying to figure out something about the monster. So we're actually gonna, instead of, like, the general way that I use it when I kind of let you guys say, hey, if you're trying to figure something out, you know, roll. I essentially use it as roll perception, right? Mm. But since you're actually trying to actively investigate the monster, we're going to use it the way that it's supposed to be used in the book. So, yeah, you can roll to investigate a mystery if you want.
All right. See, that is actually quite good. And that's with sharp. So that would be a 12.
Okay, cool.
There's only one real question that I can think of asking of... I guess it'd be either what is being concealed here or what happened here. And I guess it'd be more of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, what on the island, or, like, that I may have read about that would explain, or any, like, legends or lore that would explain, like, this kind of thing happening before.
Okay. So what did you roll again? You rolled a 12? Or...
Yeah.
Okay, you can ask two things. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? And what is being concealed here? And these are very kind of localized questions. So it's not like I'm trying to see if I can remember something. This is like you're investigating this place right now. Do you want a DM suggestion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my DM suggestion would be to maybe not take Bob entirely at his word. Based off of your role. That is the only reason I'm saying that. Because I can't say anything else. Unless you are investigating
actually,
this area.
That's enough. That's enough for me. It's just... Mm-hmm. I would have read about enough to know, like, no, like, their equipment, it would be able to pick up multiple points. So if we could get in there and get that data, we might be able to figure out where we need to start looking.
And you still have one. And I'm going to say that if you want to ask it at some point later while you're still at the news station, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? Why don't I head in and just say that Bob wanted some help from the museum and has given me his key card to make sure that I'm able to get through. Did we see which way Bob went, by the way? Did he go back to the station?
No, you saw him rush off down the street towards the gas station that's all the way at the end. You estimate that he's probably going to take another 10 minutes if he just goes there, buys something, and comes back, because it's not that close, but you can still see it. So you got about 10 minutes before he shows up.
Are you wanting to head in alone, or do you want one of us coming with you?
I would say maybe one of us, but then two people need to run interference, probably. Make sure that he doesn't come in until we're done looking through the stuff. Who here knows... Have you read about seismology and stuff?
A bit. I'm not an expert or anything, but I could probably pinpoint it off if I had enough data together.
Jack? Al? Do you think that you could run interference in case he comes back?
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, I guess. I won't, like, punch him, if that's what you want us to do.
Please don't.
Yeah, let's not.
So don't kill the guy.
Yeah, try not to hurt him.
Don't kill him.
If you could. Just don't hurt. Don't, just L,
hurt him
make
with
sure
words.
That Jack
words.
Does
I'll,
good.
I'll try. I don't want to get arrested.
Yeah.
I'll just tell him not to go in.
Just strike up a conversation and keep busy. That's all we need.
I'll scare him away. Got it.
Okay. So with that, I start moving back towards the news station.
Okay.
And I walk up to the lady at the front desk.
All right. So we're going to have this be Raven and Nigel, and then Ellen, Jack. So we'll start with Raven and Nigel. So the lady at the front desk has finally plugged her phone back in, and she's kind of sitting there staring at the switchboard as about another 20 lights are buzzing, and she's not picking it up, despite the fact that it's ringing. She just seems to be taking a moment, and she doesn't really seem to notice you come back.
Okay. I'm just gonna walk, actually, past her over to the security guard and say, hey, Bob said that we could just go grab some data from the seismology room really fast. We'll be like 10 minutes tops. Show the ID card and start walking past him.
I want you to roll to manipulate.
Sure thing.
Because he looks you over and he looks like he's about to stop you. So let's see how well you convince him that you're with Bob.
Could I try to help out? It's been like, oh, she's with the, you know, Museum of Natural History. They're doing a whole project on just, you know, what is natural versus what's not and how to tell the difference. It's this whole ridiculous thing. Basically try to come up with an excuse of why, you know, she's being allowed to get this information.
So that's charm? Because in that case, I got a 10.
Okay. Well, I mean, you don't really have to roll to help out because Scully has a 10.
Yeah, so. She's got a 10 and I rolled a 5 anyway.
So. Yeah, but it could be better.
Yeah.
Not with a 5.
Okay, so he looks like he's like bored and tired, and like he doesn't seem like he really gives a shit, and he was only gonna stop you because like that's his job and he wants to keep it because he needs food, but like you've got a card and that's the only thing you need. And so he kind of just goes, huh, all right, just get your shit, and waves you in and pushes a button and the door goes zzz, and like you can pull it open. And you pull it open and you head inside, and you can see inside the newsroom. The news is not being broadcasted right now. It's a little bit late in the morning. They usually do it at about 8 o'clock, and then they do it at 12, and then they do it again at 6 from your remembering having seen it on TV before. It's about, at this point, like 11-ish. People seem to be getting ready to do the news. There's a lot of bustling around. You can see camera people setting things up. You can see sound people testing out the mics, and the news anchors themselves are kind of standing at the back near some of the desks that they have set up, going over stuff with their producers. You don't know where anything is, though. You see an array of things and a couple of doors, and it's all very confusing and noisy, and people kind of glance over at you, and some people seem to be a little concerned that you're there before they kind of just realize, like, you know, well, the security guard let him in, so whatever, and go back to their stuff. What
the
do you
trick
do?
Is we act like we're supposed to be there, so
exactly.
Would I have to roll anything just to kind of glance around at, like, you know, trying to quickly take in like any kind of directory or nameplates on doors to try and figure out which one would be his office that might have the information, or like the room where they have the meteorology equipment?
Yeah, go ahead and roll sharp to see what you can get observed pretty quickly.
Sharp?
Mm-hmm.
9.
Okay. You don't see where Bob's office. It certainly doesn't seem to list Bob's office, at least. So you're not entirely sure exactly where he would be or where his equipment would be. But you do see a couple of doors going down a very small hallway on the left side past the main part of the news station. And they seem to have nameplates on them that read things like producers or writer's room, etc. So that's about as much as you can gather from where you're currently standing, and that seems to be the direction that you should probably head into, but you don't know exactly where.
Well, I'm just gonna follow my senses and just go for it. So,
and I'm gonna follow Nigel.
Okay, so you walk down this corridor, and it's got people. It's really small. Like you're having come in here, you're under the impression that the news station is probably not running on as big of a budget as they like to pretend that they are, despite the fact that they are probably the only really leading news in Shady Hollow, and the other ones are even probably on a smaller budget than they are. Couple of interns squeeze past you with cups of coffee, looking haggard and kind of irritated, and excuse me, come on, and they kind of just push past. You walk further down the hall and you see writer's room, producer's room, you see green room, etc. And finally, near the back, in like a really dingy kind of corner, you see a plaque that says
meteorological room?
Meteorology and seismology.
Give me a second. I can say this.
You can do it!
Weatherman room.
Meteorologist room?
No, it says weatherman room. I can read it. It's right there.
Just for the interns. They don't.
Meteorology. Cool. It says meteorology. And the door is kind of half propped open. You can hear the sounds of really, what for you guys in this era of totally not anachronistic technology. Sounds like very modern computers, like the whirring of fans and every now and then a and a couple of voices kind of muttering quietly to each other as they have a small conversation.
Before I head for that door, are there any exits on this side of the building down this hallway?
Yeah, in fact, there's an exit directly in front of you. It's a big red labeled exit sign with one of those like push bars, and on the door itself you can see that it says not, you know, don't use except for in emergencies, alarm will sound.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right, that's good to know.
Can we hear, like, I don't think I approach the door to try and listen in, would he be able to hear anything that's in there, or any part of the conversation that's going on?
Yeah, let's go ahead and roll sharp to see if you can hear it over the sound of like the fans and equipment that's kind of going.
I got a 6, so I can't make out shit.
No, you just hear like computer modems, which are weird sounds for you because like you're not used to that. You don't really deal too much with the new fancy dancy newfangled technology, and you just hear fans. Yeah, you don't hear anything.
Well, do you think they're gonna see us if we go in the room anyway?
I think they will.
Just knock, strike up a conversation, see where we go from there.
I don't know. Bob seemed like he was hiding something. Maybe they are too. Listen, we got to make a decision fast, though.
Not just
I'll follow
knock.
Your lead. Yep.
Oh, okay.
He's gonna knock and then kind of let himself in.
Okay. So you knock and the door's open, so you can just push it open. You push it open, you see there's two people sitting in a corner, chatting away to each other, kind of leaned over a couple of papers. They look up and see you, and one of them is a young man. He goes, hello? Can I help you?
Oh, hey, my friend here, she's with the Museum of Unnatural
History. Here's my card, and I pull out my card and hold it out to them.
You're about 10 feet away, and they're sitting at a desk, okay, and
so,
they kind of just...
So then I walk into the room. No, actually, no. I hold it out to them when I realize that they're not going to get up for it. I just put it back in my pocket. Right. Anyway, we're supposed to be here to pick up the latest seismological data?
Oh, you're doing stuff with Bob's stuff? Yeah. His desk is over there, and they kind of point into the far corner, under like a really dingy little air conditioning unit that is like kind of leaking down the side of the wall, and you can see that there's a desk there with a bunch of equipment on it and a like brand new CRT monitor computer, with this nice, you know, phosphorus orange glowing screen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nigel's immediately interested, like, wow, this is.
And we're gonna walk over to the over to his desk and start looking around.
Okay.
Would that be investigate mystery?
Well,
investigation check.
Well, Nigel is still holding on to one of his investigate mystery. So if you want to roll your own investigate mystery, you can. But Nigel doesn't need to roll another one because he still has a question.
I could definitely do that. Let's see here. I guess it would be what is being concealed here to look for the data that we need?
Okay. So you look around on this really messy desk, and Bob is not the most hygienic or cleanly of people. His desk is covered in cigarette butts and a couple of cans of Coca-Cola. We are not sponsored by Coca-Cola, I should mention.
We wouldn't say no.
Are
though.
You sure about that?
A couple of cans of crushed soda cans and just in general, like a mess. But like you glance over the papers that are on there and you can see that there's one stack of papers that is obviously the newer one because it's not covered in trash. And it's sitting right there and it's a bunch of like graphs as well as a printed map of the city. With a bunch of little like dots on it, and certain areas have higher concentrations of dots and other areas have lower concentration of these dots. And so that's what you find when you start looking around his desk to see if you can find something related to what he had been talking about outside.
I'm going to make sure to grab that and be like, oh, perfect. This is exactly what we need. There's a copier in the building, right, guys?
And they kind of look over because they had already started ignoring you because they didn't care. Yeah, it's just go back down the hall. There's the coffee room. There's a printer in there.
Great, thanks. All right, and, let's head out. And as soon as we're out in the hall, I'm like, I have no intention of making coffees. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
All right, we're gonna switch over to Elle and Jack, who are standing outside, and we're going to go back in time a little bit. You two are standing, you're standing at that corner next to the building that leads to where Bob had been smoking his cigarettes, where so you can kind of have a view of the driveway coming up into the news station and are waiting for Bob to come back. And you see him about 5 minutes in after Nigel and Raven have gone inside, coming back up the driveway, and he's looking annoyed and hassled, and he's heading straight for the newsroom. What do you do?
Jack's
gonna gesture to Jack because he's probably a better people person than Elle.
Jack's gonna hold up his hand and go, "Hey, man, can I borrow a cigarette?"
I just bought. Yeah. Hold on a second, and he pulls the cigarette pack out of his back pocket again, and he kind of flicks it open. You can see that he's already smoked another one since he bought it, because it's already been opened and one is missing, and he like pulls it out and hands it to you, and he says, "Yeah, here you go, dude," and then starts to like walk past you.
Oh, dude, you want to see something fucking weird?
Are you saying that just like from where you're standing?
Nah,
I assume Jack is like right there in his face because it's Jack.
Okay, so
I'm,
you
like right in his face.
Yeah, so you like all 6'5" of Jack suddenly, and Bob is not a tall man. Bob probably is about 5'4" in his shoes right now. He kind of like suddenly stops and like, you know, draws back as this 6'5" man suddenly leans over, and goes, "Hey, man, you want to see something weird?" And like he suddenly like No, I got shit to do, dude. And he starts to skirt around you.
I'm gonna try to use magic to trip him.
Okay. I wonder if can you use magic for that? Let me see.
I don't know.
That's what I wanna. I'm not entirely sure.
Use magic is really really vague.
It is very vague. It is very vague. I'm going to look at it real quick, though.
It sounds like it would be more under the things of Jinx specifically,
okay.
But...
Yeah, okay, so this is what you...
part of use magic, yeah. There is a trap a specific person, minion, or monster. Let's say he could use it to, say, untie his shoe and trip him up that way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is like, I wanted to see what the list of things you can do with it. So yeah, go ahead and roll for that. We'll say that like you're trying to... Yeah, we'll say that you're trying to trip him up with his own shoelaces.
8.
Okay. So that's a mixed success. So this is what happens. You get to do that, but you also have to pick a glitch. So these are the glitches that happen, and pick one of these. The effect is weakened. The effect is of short duration. You take 1 harm, ignore armor. The magic draws immediate unwelcome attention, or it has a problematic side effect. So which one of those glitches happens when Jack does this?
I'm going to go with the last one.
It has a problematic side effect.
Because that sounds the most vague.
Okay. All right. So, Jack, you kind of do the same thing you did inside the newsroom where you, like, wave your fingers discreetly. And you can see just from glancing down that his shoes come untied. And as he's...
Please tell me he doesn't trip and break his neck.
As he's, like, trying to skirt around you, he steps on his own shoelace and he falls. And he, like, falls very hard on his side. He goes, oh, fucking hell! Ugh! And, like, he, like, sits up. He's like, fucking goddamn it! Ugh! God, this hurts! And he, like, sits up and starts, like, leaning over and, like, holding his elbow. And as he does that, the people who are inside... kind of like lean over and see him, and they don't seem to like see him trip. They just see him holding his bloodied arm with a 6-foot-tall like dude leaning over him, and suddenly someone goes, hey Bob, are you okay? What's going
I'm
on
gonna reach down to try to help him up. Is he still on the ground?
He slaps your hand away. And as you're doing this and everybody's kind of like paying attention to you, the security guard kind of like comes out and he's like, Bob, do you need some help? And the Bob goes, no, I just tripped, it's fine, he didn't do anything. The problematic side effect I'm going to say that this has, because it's not that the magic drew unwanted attention, the problematic side effect is that Nigel and Raven, you guys are starting to walk out of the newsroom and this whole like kerfuffle is happening outside, and somebody in the news waiting room sees the two of you walking out and they go, hey, weren't you with those assholes outside who just tripped Bob?
They what? Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and then, like, the receptionist looks up and she goes, how did you get inside the newsroom? Security! And she kind of, like, leans over and starts calling for the security guard outside. And so the two of you are in the reception room and Jack and Elle, you guys are outside. What do you guys do as security is coming back in and this receptionist is starting to make a big deal about the two of you who slipped past her without her notice?
Are we able to see through the big doors? Are we able to see Bob on the ground?
Yeah, you can see everything.
Okay, sweet. I'm going to jinx Bob again.
Okay, go ahead and roll for that.
That is a 12.
All right, so what are you doing with the jinx?
All right, one thing. I'm going to drop the key card.
Okay.
And that will be 1 for the target loses some. The target finds something you left for them.
Okay. Who's the target for this? Is that Bob?
And then I am all.
Sorry.
So the target is Bob.
Okay.
And I'm gonna drop it. Make sure that it's behind the door.
Okay.
And the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to interfere with what a monster, minion, or bystander is trying to do, and that is going to be interfere with her getting the security guard's attention. The lady.
Okay.
The receptionist getting the security guard's attention.
Okay. All right. So you drop the card. Nobody even sees you drop it. You just magically seem to like have it. And it is, doesn't seem magically. It is magically. Ends up on the floor near one of the cameras. And the receptionist is trying to, like, stand up from her desk. She's, like, getting up. As she's doing that, her chair slips from behind her, and she ends up stumbling a little bit, and she kind of leans over, and as she does, she, like, catches herself on the edge of the desk and knocks her entire phone that she had just plugged back in and was, like, about to answer, knocks the whole thing off the desk, and it lands and starts, like, beeping very loudly. And she goes, "Oh, are you fucking kidding me?" And she, like, turns around and starts to, like, pick it up as quickly as possible, and realizes that it's in fact, like, has broken into a couple of pieces on some parts of the phone. She starts looking, like, really frustrated, like, "Ah!" And she looks up at security, and then she, like, looks down at the phone, and she's like, can you, never mind. And then, like, goes back to trying to figure out how to fix this, like, small disaster that she has created.
I believe this is our opportunity to leave.
Nigel's already, like, ahead of her, just, like, on his way, like, pushing past people, like, "Yeah, we're not involved."
Most of the people in the news, like, reception area don't seem to care. Like, they were there for a second for the interest, and then they kind of just go back to waiting. The receptionist is too busy trying to fix the problem with the phone, and the security guard is still outside, and he noticed her yelling for him, but then when she bent down and started dealing with the phone issues, he kind of went back to dealing with Bob and helping him up. So now all four of you are outside. Bob is still on the ground. Security is kind of helping him up and says, "Ugh.
Yeah, I'm still trying to help Bob up, and I'm just gonna, sorry, man, I didn't.
Don't touch me.
How did you trip
don't...
beside me?"
Elle's just gonna grab Jack and pull him back. Like, come on.
Yeah, whatever. Just fuck off, dude. I'm fine. And he kind of, like, takes the hand of the security guard and, like, gets up and kind of shakes himself off and just. Fuck. All right. Guess we're getting back in there. And so the two of them head inside, and you can see as Bob, like, starts to come up towards the door, he's, like, reaching his back pocket and, like, patting it and patting his butt and then patting the front. And he's like, "Fuck, where's my fucking key card?" And then the door closes and you guys don't hear anything else.
To the car.
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
As soon as we're in the car, Nigel's gonna start pulling out, like, the paper that he's got and just start flipping through it.
Okay.
Do I have to roll to see where the points would be on the map?
Nope.
Or can we just mark that?
Yeah, no, this is very, it's this, anybody who can see it can see what it looks like. You see three points that have a higher concentration of dots than other areas. And looking at this map, it's a map of Shady Hollow, of the entire island. You don't know what the dots mean, because obviously they have some kind of meaning towards the person who would be able to read this with authority. But you get the sense that it's probably, like, localized areas of seismic activity. And there's a super high concentration next to Skull Caverns, which is a kind of little bay area, cave area on one part of the island. Skull Caverns. The other one is down by Elm Tree Harbor, where the docks are. So, yeah. And the third one is located somewhere around the kind of river area that flows between Crystal Creek and downtown. And that's where you see all three of these effects that seem to be happening.
Yeah, this whole time I'm trying to look over his shoulder to see where they are.
Yeah.
All right. Well, probably good to have found. I guess we should go check these out.
I'm guessing one of them is the cemetery.
No, the cemetery was over, near that. Yeah, cemetery's over here. Over in Springwood Cove, far away from the river. So I say, I don't know, we should probably head over, because we're downtown right now, right?
Yeah. So you're actually closest right now to the one that appeared downtown. It's a little bit further. It's over near where the bridge that goes between the not really downtown area of Crystal Creek, because it's not really a downtown. It's kind of just the other half of downtown. But there's a bridge that goes over the river into Crystal Creek, and it seems like that's the area where it has the highest concentration. So it's about a mile and a half from where you currently are down to that bridge.
All right, shall we head there?
Sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so the four of you head down towards this bridge area, and as you're driving through downtown, the closer you get to the kind of epicenter of where this this particular location of seismic activity seemed to have happened, the more you start to see things that seem out of the ordinary. You see cars more than usual parked on the sides of the street. You see people kind of milling around, and then you get about to the area that you believe that this density of activity seems to have happened in, and you see a line of police tape and a couple of fire trucks parked on the street beyond it. And yeah, that's what you see. So you're still in the car. What do you do?
Find a place to park, maybe look around and not try to draw too much attention this time.
There's a fairly large crowd all kind of standing around this police tape, and, you know, bordering it. So it wouldn't be too difficult to kind of blend into that crowd. You can see from where you are currently. You find a parking spot. You have to park a couple of blocks away, just because there seems to be a lot of cars. And now that you've seen this kind of roadblock, you get the feeling that a lot of these are kind of looky-loos like yourself who have parked and come to see what happened. And then as you make your way down towards this crowd, you kind of push your way in. It's about two or three people deep, which is pretty large for something like Shady Hollow, for that many people to kind of be congregating around it. Yeah, what do you do?
Can I roll sharp to kind of look around since Elle's good at like perception?
I was going to try to do the same.
Okay. which one of you wants to lead on that, and then I'll let the other one help out?
I can do it.
Okay. I mean, which one of us has more sharp?
I have +2.
So do I.
All right, so it doesn't matter. We'll let D&C roll because she brought it up first. And you can go ahead and roll Hound for plus cool to see how you help out.
I am definitely glad that Hound
plus
is
two to help out, right? I mean, not plus cool?
Plus cool.
All right,
that is a
12.
6.
Okay, well...
So I got a 12.
Yeah, so the way our house rules for help out is that if you get a really good roll, 10 plus, on your help out, the other person gets to re-roll their lowest die. So go ahead and re-roll your lowest one, D&C.
God damn it!
What'd you get?
Exactly the same. It's still fucking 6.
Oh, no.
2 and 2.
Okay, so Elle, you're trying to like observe what's going on, and you're kind of pushing your way through the crowd, but you can't get that encounter you had last night with Margie out of your head. And as you're looking around, all these people, they're normal people, but for some reason you just can't get out of your mind that like one of them is probably Henry's men. Which one of these recognize me? Have they seen me before? Who's going to report to Henry? And you just start to kind of get this like paranoid feeling of like, shit, should I even be here? Fuck, this is like the worst place for me to be. And you're so distracted by the fact that you're like worried about whether or not you should be out in this kind of large crowd of people, that you don't really seem to notice anything about what's actually happening beyond the police tape. The rest of you kind of shuffle in behind Elle and look over, and you can see there's a crowd of people kind of just milling about and talking to each other casually. And like, you catch every now and then things like words like, "Hey, did you see what happened? No, hey, did you feel the tremor last night? You think that's what this is about? Yeah, they wouldn't let us drive. I gotta get home soon. I got like groceries in the car." So you kind of like hear these like conversations. Some of these people seem to live in this area and aren't able to get past. Others seem to be just there to find out what's going on. Go on.
I'm gonna try something similar to the cops from before.
Okay, you have to explain. It's been a long time. What are you trying to do?
Well, I knew we'd probably be doing something like this, so I brought a fake ID.
Okay.
It's a press badge.
Okay.
For the Daily Post.
All right. So you look around, Jack, and you're trying to see if there's anybody that you can kind of use this fake ID on and get past. And you see that there's
like cops or something.
Yeah, there's one bored looking rookie cop who's kind of standing next to the police line, and every time new people kind of approach, he goes, "Sorry, the road is closed. If you need to get around, go ahead. Go about 2 streets down and you can find your way. Sorry, road's closed. Sorry."
I'm just gonna walk up. Are the other three following me? I want to make sure they're following me.
Oh, I'm hanging back.
Yeah, we're going to hang back on this.
Yeah.
Jack's going to wave for him to follow.
I think we're staying put, because we're not ones with
press
badges.
Jack's going to go back, grab Nigel, and pull him along.
Shit. All right, I'll come along.
Have fun.
Going right
up to the
cop.
Raven's
going to
look kind of worriedly over at L. Hun, are you okay? And just kind of pull L off to the side so that they can have a private conversation at some point.
Okay. Nigel is thinking rather loudly, just in case Raven can pick up on her telepathy. Remember me!
All right.
Because he's pretty sure he's about to go to jail.
Okay. All right. So you approach this rookie cop, and he kind of looks bored. And as you come up, he kind of goes, sorry, the road's closed. It'll be open in a couple hours.
Jack's going to shut him down right away. Daily Post, here to investigate. Pull out the badge.
All right. I want you to... Do you have a special thing as a professional for this, or are you just rolling manipulate?
I think it's just with the cover identities thing, so it would just be manipulate.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead and roll to manipulate somebody. Go ahead and roll plus charm.
One of my dice bounced out.
Better go get it.
Would I be able to help out at all? Because now that I'm
right?
into this, I'm kind of committed.
No, I'm going to say that, like, Jack's already started this process.
Oh, well, I've got it. It's plus one, so that's a 12.
Okay. So, Nigel...
The one that bounced out was originally, like, a one.
Well, if it bounced out onto the floor, we don't count it, so... yeah, all right. So, Nigel, you're convinced you're going to jail. Like, you look like... You're just like, oh, God, no, fucking... And, like, as you're, like, being pulled away and, like, remember me to Raven... Jack's, like, aura suddenly seems to change, and it reminds you again of what happened in the news station, which seems so weird because you've never seen Jack do this kind of thing before. He suddenly seems to be suddenly more professional, seem more grown up in a way, and he walks up to the cop and he holds up this press badge and he says, I'm here to investigate. I'm here with the Daily Post. And the rookie cop kind of, like, looks at him and goes, Yeah, okay, that's... Yeah, sure, but I'm sorry, but we can't... Even press can't go in there right now. Yeah, but, you know, I can answer your questions if you'd like me to. That's the best I can do, but I'm sorry, you can't go back there. So that's the best you're going to get with that 12, because he can't let you back there, but he will answer your questions.
Yeah. Do you know what, like, any real damage around here? Other than, you know, the road, which you can fix?
Are you talking about the earthquake? Because that's what this is about, right?
Well, yeah, I'm more talking about, were there any casualties?
No. This is, look, last night that weird earthquake happened and, like, a pipe burst back there. And they don't think there's a gas leak or anything, but they're a little worried, so they're back there repairing. No casualties, certainly not. A building is a little, you know, shook up. Looks like it might need some repairs, but yeah, no, it's just a burst pipe. Don't worry about it.
All right, so nothing major.
Yeah, and you can see as you're kind of leaning over him, there's a fire truck and there's like a road work repair truck and a couple of police. And the police really just seem to be there to like keep people from like getting in the way of the road work. And the fire truck people seem to be dealing with somebody who's standing outside a house. And the house looks like it took some damage. It doesn't look like it's caved in or anything, but it does seem to have a couple of, like, broken wooden posts. And you can see that the tree that was out in front of it is really the major concern, because whatever happened with the earthquake, it seems to have knocked over a rather old, tall tree. And the tree has kind of, like, fallen onto the house, not into the house, but onto it. And that really seems to be the major concern right now.
All right. Well, I don't know what to do from here.
Okay.
So I'll just push Nigel forward a little bit.
All right.
The cop kind of looks at you and then looks at Nigel. And goes, are you with the news too?
Kind of. I'm his ride for the day. Vehicle's in the shop.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, sorry. You can't get your vehicle past here. It's gonna be a couple hours. You know, if you want to get around, you can always. And he starts like giving you directions on how to like drive somewhere else, because he's assuming that you're asking for directions, since you mentioned being the driver.
Unless there's anything else you need to ask, Jack, I don't really know what else we can do here.
Could we get a statement from the person in front of the house?
Are you asking?
I'm asking the cop, yeah.
He kind of likes to, like, looks back and goes, I mean, you'll have to wait. I'm not allowed to let anybody back there.
Come back
in, like, 2 or 3 hours. Like, that, the road's going to be repaired. The pipe's probably going to be fixed. Come back in 2 or 3 hours and we'll be gone. You can do whatever you want. But, like, I'm sorry, man. I can't let you past.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. And while this is happening...
Whereabouts is this pipe? Is it, like, under the bridge or...
Oh, and he points down, and you can see past the house, not too far, but towards the side that's facing the river, because you're currently on, like, the road that is, one side is houses, and the other side is the river. It's, and they're really nice houses, because obviously they have enough money to live downtown in a house next to this, like, pretty gorgeous view of the river going through Shady Hollow. I call it a river, and I realize that that's not really accurate. It's more like the island is split in two and it's seawater, but it goes through. It's weird.
It's a gorge.
It is a very long and thin bay.
Yes.
It's literally a gorge.
Yeah. It's very pretty, but it's also very strange when you consider the fact that it's all salt water. It's not actually river water. So it's a really nice area downtown, and you can see that on the side facing the river, there's kind of this like park-ish strip where there's grass and benches and like a little railing overlooking the otherwise kind of steep descent into this like gorge bay area, and it looks like the sidewalk and the road has cracked and split, and in fact like maybe like a sinkhole that they didn't know existed has formed and fallen inwards, and it seems to be like that area near the side closest to the water is where this like center of destruction has happened. And from where you can see, it's not really a great view because it is on the ground and there's like trees and grass and stuff. From where you can see, it looks like it's probably about like 10 to 15 feet wide, and it's all kind of caved in and has taken out at least half of the road, and you can't really see the pipe, but you can see these workers who are trying to kind of get in there and fix it.
While we're standing here, I'm going to try and communicate with Raven, and I'm just going to, you know, be thinking like, hey Raven, can you hear me?
Silence.
All right. Boss there. I'm trying to glance back at Jack and Mike. We should go meet up with everybody else.
All right, yeah.
Okay. So while you guys are having this small conversation with the cops, let's go back to Raven and Elle. Ravenel, you guys are standing back and letting Jack and Nigel kind of take the lead on this. Raven, you mentioned because you wanted to have a private conversation. So what do you guys do?
Elle, is there something you need to tell me about?
No.
Are you sure? Because you're looking really worried right now. Something?
No, I'm fine. She's going to take a sec to pause and then shit. I thought out loud, didn't I?
Yeah, sorry. What's going on?
Long story, not here.
That's fine. People. Are you safe? What do we need? What can I do to help?
It's fine.
Got it.
Okay.
And I'm just going to look over and see if the boys are heading our way.
Yeah. All right. So you guys are having this really short conversation, and you kind of, after it stops and you realize that Elle's not going to elaborate, you wait and stand awkwardly behind this crowd and kind of muse on what's happening, because it's, Elle tends to be pretty stoic, but this seems even more stoic than usual for what you're used to. And finally, Nigel and Jack come back and approach you and look like they've got some kind of information.
So, what'd you find out?
Well, bridge is definitely out because of the earthquake last night. A pipe burst in the middle of the bridge. Not really noticing anything too weird, though. I don't know if you're able to hear earlier, but I was wondering, did you maybe, see if you can detect any weird magical mumbo jumbo in the area, or, read any minds?
Oh.
There's something that they're probably not telling us
yet. So, here's the thing. You all remember how up on the mountain there were all those weird instances of things going wrong and stuff breaking?
Me and our usual shtick. Yeah.
And the lady would... I'm guessing this has something to do with what... What's her face? I don't remember her name.
Yes, that's Skier. So the good news is that since I started to have to use my powers more intensely, I am starting to gain a bit better of control over things. But the bad news is that it's getting harder to stop using them. So, and Raven kind of pulls back her bangs, and on her ear you see a little ear cuff that looks like a rib cage with a spine going down, and then a chain connected at the bottom of that to an earring stud that's in her ear that looks like a skull. So I made myself this. Essentially, what it does is it blocks out everyone's thoughts, because nowadays it's really loud. And for the most part, except for when y'all are really close and I'm actively trying to communicate with you, I'm not gonna be able to hear anything from anyone. I can, by all means, reach out and try, but all incoming communication, so to speak, is just shut down. It also means that, you know, I can't necessarily do quite as much with the manipulating mind control stuff, but let's face it, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, that was a little weird last time.
Yeah, that's probably a lot better.
Well, do you think you'd be able to maybe put your shadow feelers out there and see if there's anything weird going on?
I can certainly try. And I'm going to use the sight to try and investigate mystery.
Go ahead and roll to investigate a mystery, and then we'll see what happens.
All right, so that's 3 plus sharp, right? So that would be 4.
So you got a 4?
Yes.
Okay. How did you roll badly on magic? Oh, wait, no, because it's sharp. That's why.
Yep.
Sorry. I was like, that seems not possible for Raven, but that's true. All right, so you finish explaining this whole thing about what's going on with the ear cuff and your stuff, and you're feeling really nervous about it, because as much as you love your friends, admitting to something this deeply personal and also something that makes you, in your mind, deeply vulnerable now that you no longer have such a blanket use of magic that you use to protect yourself and to kind of move your way through the world, it leaves you feeling anxious and distracted. And so you start to try and like gather that general sense of magic that you're used to kind of using as you look around, and instead of really being able to focus, you start drifting in your mind towards, should I have told them? Maybe I shouldn't have told them. I know they wouldn't do anything, but now that I've said it out loud, who knows what kind of possible influences I might have, and like just these kind of general worries of like, why did I do that? Why did I tell them? Maybe I shouldn't have. I want them to know, but I also don't, you know, like, so all these things are kind of swirling through your head, and it's kind of getting in your way, and you try to look around and see what's going on, but you don't really seem to be able to kind of get out of your head enough to see anything.
I look back over at Nigel and I say, sorry, I can't find anything. No,
it's all right. Well, I really hate doing this. Nigel's going to reach into his pocket and he's going to pull out a die.
Okay.
And he's just going to, I'd like to see if, I don't know if you'd want me to roll sharp or to say substitute using magic, but he basically just wants to use the magic just to kind of feel if he can get a sense of any magic that might be out there.
Yeah, we're going to say that you're using this as a foci.
Yeah.
And we're just going to call it a use magic. So
all right,
you're using magic to...
So he's just going to close this die up in his hand, and they might see like a little bit of a flicker of a blue light coming out of it,
mm-hmm.
but he's basically going to burn this thing away as he feels for whatever he can.
Okay. We're going to say that this is underused magic, the do one thing that is beyond human limitations, because no normal person would be able to observe the world in the way that you're trying
to. Amplifying his magical sense, basically. Yeah.
All right, what did you get?
So with the plus one, that would be a 12.
All right, nice. Okay, so...
He's been reading about this kind of thing.
Yeah, he has. Nigel, last night, while the earthquake was happening, you were very deep into your studies on magic, and you had just gotten to the part about how to kind of use magic to enhance your senses and to observe the world in a way that no person can naturally observe it. And so you focus on this die, and as you're holding it cupped into your hand and kind of like bring it up close to your face, this very subtle glow lights up from inside that no one would really notice except those who are magically sensitive, like Raven.
Or someone else.
Or someone else, or Jack. You just hold it for a second, and it just, as you do, you can feel the magic infuse itself into you, like a feedback loop. You're feeding into it, and it's feeding back into you. And when it finally disappears from your hands, and you like open your eyes, it's like the world is filled with much more vibrant colors than you're used to. And it's not just colors, but these auras to things. And as you look around with this new sense of like vision, you look over towards the sinkhole, and you can see this like bright, almost like whitish blue kind of glow around it. And like these traces of that whitish blue glow, almost like car light trails when you take a photo of a highway, zipping off into these distances, in kind of a like frozen time effect. And you can see that this is a magical aura of something. Something magic definitely happened here, but it's not in the way that like a magic effect was. It's just that something magic was there. And as you're looking at this and you start looking around, you glance over the crowd just briefly, not really looking for anything. And as you do, you spot someone in the crowd. You can't really see them too well. All you see is like a ponytail of brown hair and kind of like bobbing up and down as it's trying to like look over. And seeing this person, they have this almost blindingly bright, like sunshine yellow glow of magic around them. And that's what you see with your sudden vision.
There is someone very, very magical over there.
What?
And the coat with the ponytail. If Raven can actually kind of hear what's going on in Nigel's head right now,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like everything, like every like gear turning his head just stopped. Like as soon as he saw her, he's just kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So talking is very difficult right now.
All right, Jack's gonna try to look for whoever he just, you know, yeah. described.
You look, and Nigel's pointing towards the crowd, and you can see as this head of brown hair is walking away from you guys. The person seems to be like pushing their way through the crowd back towards the like riverside walkway, and towards like the way that leads to the street. And there's like cars, and people are starting to disperse, realizing that there's nothing really interesting going on, and so they're kind of getting between you and the person as they walk away. But you do kind of see where he's gesturing. Jack, with your somewhat magically sensitive nature, you, now that Nigel has pointed it out, you can vaguely get a sense of it. It's not like Nigel, who needed the help to, you can't just naturally see people with magical abilities, but once it's been pointed out, you can start to feel that way feel your own magical sense towards them. So you vaguely get this like kind of sense off of this figure as it's moving away from you, but not nearly so Jack's much as what
gonna
Nigel
try
did.
To catch up.
All right.
I am as well. Do I recognize her at all?
She's currently moving pretty quickly away from you, and she seems to be like going somewhere on her own, with a purpose. And you don't know from the back. Sorry. Okay.
Nigel's probably going to be standing there for a moment as everyone else starts going before he realizes everyone's walking away.
Elle's going to pull him forward. She can see him kind of dumbstruck.
That'll
Jack's tall guy sprinting.
Yeah, it's going to snap back to reality. Like, oh, yeah, let's follow. That's all right.
All right. The figure is probably about a good 40 or 50 feet ahead of you. They weren't particularly close when this happened, and before you really realized that you needed to, like, get moving to follow them, they were already on their way. And you watch as they walk away down the street, and you guys are blocked by some of these people as they're trying to get... There's a fair amount of crowd dispersing at this point, so you can't really just, like, run straight. You're kind of stuck, like, excuse me, and there's also cars and other people starting to, like, move back down the street. It's very much a, like, everyone's leaving at once and the parking lot is full now kind of sense. The figure moves on to the, like, kind of riverside walkway and heads down, and you see them walk towards a staircase that leads down towards the, like, it's not really a beach, but it's like an area with sand that can be walked on, that people like to take their dogs down there to walk, at the bottom of this, like, almost kind of cliffside overlook of the quote unquote Riverside Gorge. They walk down the staircase and disappear from your view.
I'm going to catch up to Jack. Jack, can we not chase people?
Nope, too late. I'm still trying to go after.
Okay.
Down the staircase.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jinx Jack.
Okay.
I am fine with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, alright, what are you doing with the all jinx?
All right, I rolled a 9, so I only get 1.
Okay, what are you doing?
But I'm going to interfere with a hunter, giving them -1 forward.
That's -1 on a roll, so you're not actually... So are you trying to stop Jack? Because that's not going to stop Jack. That's a next roll.
That's a good point.
You could use the magic for holding a person. Just a suggestion.
I'm just going to inflict 1 harm on the target due to accident.
Okay.
Just let him trip himself.
So Jack is tall and lanky and surprisingly coordinated for somebody with such long limbs, you know. Mm-hmm. But for a moment, as you kind of flick this jinx magic at him in, like, an almost, like, offhanded, like, nope kind of way... he kind of reverts back to that awkward, gangly teenager in like, you know, 7th grade that you remember. He used to, like, trip over his own feet. And just for a moment, he does trip over his own feet. And promptly rolls down a flight of stairs, all the way down to the bottom, onto the sand. He's coordinated enough that it doesn't result in any major injuries, but it does inflict 1 harm. So take 1 harm, Jack. You are now at the bottom of the stairs, which was your original goal, but probably not in the manner that you wanted. And the person that you had been chasing is at this point nowhere in sight that you can see, because you are lying down on sand looking up at the sky. And Raven kind of hovering above you at the top of the stairs, looking down with this kind of almost guilty expression.
Oh, no, there is no guilt. There is a serves you right expression on her.
Okay,
face.
Sorry.
Jack's going to try to use magic to trip her down the stairs.
She's not on the stairs. She's just looking over.
Nigel's going to make his way down the stairs and offer Jack a hand to get back up.
Okay.
Looking over the balcony railing sort of thing, not like leaning over it or anything, but do I see which way she went?
Yeah, she seems to be walking back towards where the pothole is on the road above, but, like, underneath on the sandy kind of walkway down there.
Oh, and while Nigel helps Jack to his feet, he's going to hold on to his wrist, you know, while helping him up. He's going to go, do not fuck this up for me. I don't
know what you're talking about. And he's just going to try to break the grip and run.
No, I will roll tough to hold him. Like,
yeah, okay. Dude. No, I want this. I want this to happen. I want you both to roll tough. Let's see who's winning the battle of the hold Jack in place battle.
Oh God! All right, okay. What do you got, Jack?
1 sec. I still have to roll. That. Oh wait, it's tough, right? So that's a -1 for me. Mm. So that's 10.
That does not beat my 11.
Jack, this is what happens. You get up on your feet and Nigel, like, helps you up, but then, like, has this, like, death grip on your arm as he's like, don't fuck this up. And you have no idea what he's talking about. But you just want to go and catch this person because you feel like it's important. And you start to, like, try and use all 6'5" of your you know body weight to like pull your way out of this grip, but Nigel at his 5'11" has been working the fuck out, and he's surprisingly ripped for a nerd.
Nice.
And he is just standing there with like a monster like do you even lift bro grip on your hand right now.
I
and just like
he takes like 2 steps and I just right. pull him back.
Yeah, you basically like dead weight like lift him kind of, but you're not lifting him, like drag him, like, you know.
It's like, dude, just play it cool. If we go running, chasing
I have
after
no
people,
idea what you're talking about.
If we go chasing after people, you know what happens when someone sees someone running at them? They run the fuck away.
Just, fine.
Thank you.
And Jack's just gonna yell to whoever the person is, hey you, hive.
At this point, they're a fair way down, and they seem to, like, hear you, but they don't seem to notice that it's at them. And they're still walking.
Tiny how person!
How far away is this person from me?
Where you are on the stairs, at this point, with the kind of momentary taken out for tripping, etc., and everybody kind of like, play cool, no, stop! Kind of thing going on. And you're on the stairs.
Within 100 feet?
Yeah, I'll say within 100 feet. It's at a diagonal though. Like, you know, like yeah. you would like as the bird flies 100 feet, not like walking, because you'd still have to go down the stairs and around.
Alright, I'm going to use my telepathy.
Okay.
Are we all in on this call?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm going to use my telepathy to reach out to this person. And say, so we're not the only ones investigating. Wait there, we can help.
I want you to roll to manipulate, because that's what this is how... This is we agreed this is how this is going to be used. So this is to
sure.
influence a manipulate roll.
7.
Okay, so you get mixed results. So this is what happens. You watch as the person halts, like, straight in their tracks, turns around and looks directly at you. And you can see now that it is... a woman with long brown hair and staring straight up. She's wearing a kind of aviator's jacket and a striped yellow shirt. And she gets this strange look that you can't really decipher from where you are. She pauses for a second. And then she turns around and keeps walking. And then she seems to stop in her tracks again. And then you hear in your head... Who are you?